Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
We come to a place in the book of Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews says, "And what in the world else can I say?" He's talking to believers that are Jews, and they are considering abandoning the ship. They are being persecuted, they're wore out, and they're thinking, "I wonder if I should go back to the old way." And the writer of Hebrews is saying, do not do it. Jesus is better. A life committed to the Lord Jesus Christ is the best way to live. So he's gone through in chapter 11. He's given us all these great examples of people that live by faith in the Old Testament. He went through Abel. He went through Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the parents of Moses. And now he comes to the very end of this chapter, and he's going to kind of summarize it all. And we're going to gain some principles out of this to know about faith. So let's read the passage. I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word. This is Hebrews chapter 11, and it's going to be verses 29 through 40. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. This is Hebrews 11, 29. "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." Verse 32, "And what more shall I say?" This is where he says that. "For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." Today's message, lessons on faith from Genesis to Malachi. All of these stories that we have been recounting in this passage go all the way from Genesis. They go all the way from Genesis to Malachi. If you see, he says, even and Samuel and the prophets at the end of verse 32. So these are lessons that we're going to learn from all of these different folks. Now, we're not going to dig into every single story, but there are some principles I want to pull out. So here's the first one. Number one, faith is what pleases God. In verses 29 through 40, he uses over and over the word faith. He says, by faith in verse 29, by faith in verse 30, by faith in verse 31. It's implied in verse 32. And then he says from verses 32 and following, through faith. And it says they received a good testimony through faith in verse 39. So it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in God, that is what pleases him. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, we've already been through this passage, but it says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So my question is, where is your faith? You know, you can put your faith ultimately in yourself. You know what that is? That's humanism. You know, the Lord designed life. He's the one that created you. He's the one that created marriage. He's the one that created mankind. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And yet, he created mankind, and he created the earth, Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands." In Genesis, God saw all that he had made, and he said that it was good. But in Romans chapter 1, it describes what man did. Man decided to worship himself. Man decided to put his faith in himself. That's humanism. And that's really the religion of this age, the religion of this world. In Romans 1, it says, "They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So this is how you end up with abortion in our culture. This is how you end up with a misunderstanding of marriage. This is how you end up with men running in women's sports. This is how you end up with racism. This is how you end up with injustice, with hate, with moral depravity in culture, with temporal values. This is how you end up with bitterness in the world, because we decide we want to worship ourselves. We decide that we know better than God. That's humanism. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must put our faith and trust in God. If you want to please the Lord, if you want to please the Creator, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and give yourself to Him. So you have that choice. Do you put your faith in yourself? That's humanism. Or do you put your faith in the Lord Jesus? You know, I was thinking back to Lee Strobel. We showed the film of his life, The Case for Christ. He was a Chicago Tribune writer, and his wife came to know Christ. And so as a result of that, he began to examine the evidence. And I would just say this to you, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you examine the evidence. Strobel examined the evidence. He saw the difference that Jesus had made in his wife's life, and he gave his own life to Christ. I'm going to give away, I give away books, Josh McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter. Josh McDowell was a college student. People were sharing Christ with him. He was rejecting the message. He got upset with them. He said, "I'm going to disprove Christianity." Kind of an arrogant statement to make, wasn't it? But he said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it based on law. I'm going to do it based on history. I'm going to do it based on written documentation and oral testimony." So he evaluated the resurrection of Christ, and the rest is history. He became a Christian. So I would say to you this, you need to examine the evidence and realize without faith, it's impossible to please God. Where are you going to put your faith? Are you going to put your faith in man? That's humanism. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why we're in our own individual lives. We get in the mess we get in because we live lives our own way instead of going by God's design that He established. So the first thing that we learn is faith is what pleases God. Here's the second thing. Faith can be demonstrated by anyone. Faith can be demonstrated by anyone. Now, he lists a bunch of different people in this text. We're not going to go through every one of them. But there are three particular people that I want to highlight. First of all, a person with a sinful past. You say, "You know, I don't know that I could really walk with God. I don't know that I could really follow Him faithfully." Oh, yes, you could. Do you know that the Bible is full of people who have made all sorts of mistakes, and the Lord used them mightily? You say, "Well, you don't know the mistakes I've made." Oh, you know what? The Lord does. Do you know that the Scripture is filled with people? He takes ordinary people with ordinary lives and major failure, and He can, when they put their faith in Him, He can use them mightily. Here is a person with a sinful past. If you look at verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab." A person with a sinful past, Rahab the harlot. She's called a prostitute in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 and 25. Rahab was prepared to assume present peril for the sake of future preservation. Joshua sent spies into Jericho, and if you go back and read that story in Joshua chapter 2, you'll understand that Rahab, the prostitute, hid the spies. And the leaders came looking for those spies, and she hid them, and she was blessed. Her family was blessed as a result of that. It says that in verse 31, "By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with all those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So here is someone who has a sinful past, Rahab the harlot. I pray that there's not anyone here, not anyone listening that would think, oh, I'm too far gone for God to use me. Can I tell you this? God is in the business of taking all of us that are broken. The truth is, if we're all truthful and transparent, we're all broken lives, right? Amen? If you only knew the things that I have thought, the things that I have done, the things that I have said, you would be shocked. I would be embarrassed. And yet for some reason, the Lord chose to save this little teenage boy back in the 70s, and he gave me a new life, and the Lord put Kelly in my life, the sweetest person I've ever known. He gave her to me, and he gave me an opportunity to minister. The Lord is in the business of taking people with a sinful past and using them powerfully. Your testimony would be powerful for the Lord. Rahab is mentioned favorably in James chapter 2, verse 25. She's listed in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ as the wife of Salmon. And so we see her in the genealogy. The Lord put her there to send us a message to realize that God uses people with a messed up past, and he uses them powerfully. Here's the second person he uses. He uses an unknown. Gideon was an unknown. Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You see Gideon's name in verse 32 of our text. This is Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. He's not going to go into the whole story, but I'm going to go into it just a little bit of it. He was threshing the wheat, and the Lord said, you're a mighty man of valor. I want to use you to take care of the Midianites. You know what Gideon said? Gideon said this. He said, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And then here's what he said. He says to the Lord, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. You say, oh, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just over here minding my own business, and God is coming to me, challenging me. I've got dreams in my life. I've got ideas in my head that God could want to use me. Oh, no, why would he want to use me? I haven't done anything. I'm the weakest in my family. I'm the weakest in this church. I'm the weakest one of all. And yet God chose Gideon, and God used Gideon powerfully. The rest of the story is that God finally got his attention, and he gave an offering. The Lord consumed the offering in a miracle. And Gideon said, wow. And so Gideon tore down the altar of Baal, and they came after him. And this ordinary guy, Gideon, they came after him, and Gideon wanted reassurance again, so he put out the fleece. He said, Lord, if I lay this fleece here, I'm asking you, if you're real, would you make the fleece wet and the ground dry? The next day he woke up and the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. And then Gideon did what I would have done. I said, can I do it again? Can I do it again, Lord? And so Gideon said, now, this time would you make the fleece dry and the ground wet? And the Lord did it, assuring him that he was with him. Can I just tell you this, folks? You may sit back and think, you know, I've got an idea of a way I could teach those young boys about Jesus. I've got an idea of a way I could work in that department at North Central. I've got an idea of a mission trip I would want to go on. But then the old devil whispers in your ear, you're a weakling spiritually. Don't you believe it? With the help of the Lord, God can use you powerfully. And so we see in this passage of Scripture, one of the principles is faith can be demonstrated by anyone. You have someone who was in great sin. You have someone who's just an ordinary, unknown person. Here's the third one, a person needing to come back to God. I think about the life of Samson, also in verse 32. Samson had power. He was a judge in Israel, and he was the one that had the long hair. He had taken the Nazarite vow, and God had given him supernatural strength, and he was defeating the Philistines. Well, he had his eye on a girl he should have never had his eye on, and so he told his parents, he said, I want you to get Delilah for me, and she was a Philistine, and she wanted to give up his secret. And so she finally got it out of him. He said, well, I'm a Nazarite. If they cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. And so she lulled him to sleep. She seduced him and lulled him to sleep. And they came in, they cut his hair. And the Bible says that the strength went out of him. They captured him and they put him as a grinder in a mill. I used to preach a sermon that said, sin blinds and sin grinds, because they blinded him. Once they took his power away from him, they blinded his eyes. And then they put him in a grinder, and he was just walking around like an ox around in a grinder. But his hair began to grow. And do you know, even though he needed to come back to God, he needed to trust in the Lord again. And the Bible says that in the passage in Judges, Samson called to the Lord. At the end of his life, he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all of his might against that pillar. There were thousands of Philistines in this temple, and they were worshiping the false god. And Samson, although he had backslidden, although he had walked away from the things that the Lord wanted him to do, the Lord brought him under conviction, and he said, Lord, would you give me strength? And the Bible says, and he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. So you say, you know, At one time I was really committed to the Lord, and I've sort of drifted away. Well, you know what? You come back. You come back. God can use anybody who puts their faith in him. He used someone who had a bad past. He used an ordinary guy who felt like he was a weakling, and he used someone that at one time had been committed, but then turned away from the Lord and was not walking with the Lord, and now he all of a sudden finds great faith to put in the Lord, and the Lord used him in a powerful way. So we see these principles as we think about these lessons on faith from Genesis to Malachi. The first one is faith is what pleases God. The second one is faith can be demonstrated by anyone. Here's the third one. Faith can give you great victories. Now, we see in verses 33 through 35, we see a listing of just wonderful, wonderful victories that have taken place. Look at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That reminds me of Daniel, doesn't it? Daniel in the lion's den. Quenched the violence of fire. That reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and how that they escaped that. These were great victories. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle. So many pictures in the Old Testament of great warriors who were valiant in battle. And we see this in the passage. And they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. So we see all these different victories. And the truth is that faith many times will lead you into great victories. You'll see great victories in your life. The women received their dead in verse 35. The statement most likely refers to the widow of Zarephath, whose son God raised through Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, and to the son of the Shunammite woman, whom Elisha raised in 2 Kings chapter 4. So you think about all these great victories, and truthfully, ladies and gentlemen, when we put our faith in him, we may see great victories. And that's the point. I think about victories that you've seen, victories that I've seen. Maybe it's winning a friend to Christ. Last Sunday, we had a great day here when we commissioned over 20 college students to go around the world to share the gospel. And we had prayer for them at the end of our service. It was a great, wonderful time. And we had a great baptism Sunday. Robert mentioned about when Charlotte was baptized and Malcolm coming down. And Paris was baptized as well. That was awesome. And we had five baptized and a great time of fellowship. So you think about all these great victories that have happened. Those you pour your life into will follow him. Great victories that happen in your life. But here's the fourth thing. Faith can also lead you into great trials. Because not only do we see in verses 33 through 35 great victories, sometimes faith leads you into great trials. In verse 35, after it talks about those that were raised, it says others were tortured. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had the trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves in the earth. In Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 15, it says this, therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him, and they put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. So sometimes when you put your faith in him, let's be honest, church, sometimes it's tough, isn't it? Sometimes there's a price you pay when you decide to follow Jesus Christ. Now, often, at least in our nation, we can worship freely. It's probably going to get tighter and tighter on that as our culture changes. But can I tell you this and remind you that there are people in the world right now, as we are worshiping right now, there are people in this world that will lose their life because of their faith in Christ. They are in prison today because of their faith in Christ. Some are being tortured. The scripture says in verse 37, some are sawn in two. Now, we don't know from scripture an indication of this, but history tells us that the prophet Isaiah was so hated that he was sawn in two. History tells us that. Some were slain with a sword in verse 37. Is reminiscent of Jezebel, who killed many of the prophets in 1 Kings chapter 18. Sheepskins and goatskins brings to mind the clothing of Elijah and Elisha. But the truth of the matter is, folks, is we must recognize this principle. Living by faith may bring us great victories. But living by faith may bring us great trial. Jesus said, if a man is to build a house, he must count the cost and make sure that he has what it takes to finish the job. And one of the things that we need to do when we put our faith in Christ is to count the cost and say, you know, we realize the Lord may give us great victory. Now, the truth is, even in difficulty, I've been times on the mission field in places that were very, very difficult. And the people hardly had any resources at all. One thing that shook me up was visiting believers in a third world country, and they were happier than I was. It really shook me up because I realized that even in the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty, Jesus is Lord and gives great grace. So even though we know that sometimes living by faith gives great victories, we also know that living by faith can give you great trials, but we know the Lord is with us. What did the Lord say to Gideon? He said, I will be with you. What did he say to his disciples? He said, you make disciples, baptizing and teaching them. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Lord will be with us. And then in verse 38 it says, of whom the world is not worthy. The writer of Hebrews is reminding us that there are some great people that God is using by faith. And even though the world does not recognize them, they're not worthy of them. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains. I promise you this. You do anything in the name of Jesus, the Lord records it and the Lord knows it. Even if the world does not recognize what you do. Matthew 10:42 says, and whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So the Lord notices that. And here's the very last thing. What about your faith? We think about faith. Lessons on faith from Genesis to Malachi. Faith is what pleases God. Faith can be demonstrated by anyone. Faith can give you great victories, but faith can also bring you great trial. So what about your faith? In verse 39, the scripture says, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. In other words, the ultimate fulfillment of their faith in the Lord, being with the Lord in His presence at the consummation of all history had not happened. They had not received it. So they were living by faith, and so they did not receive the promise. The ultimate blessing was not given under the old dispensation in the Old Testament. God kept that until Jesus came. As long as the believers in the Old Testament times were without those who are in Christ, it was impossible for them to experience the fullness of salvation. Furthermore, it is what Christ has done that opens the way into the very presence of God for them as for us. Look at verse 40. God having provided something better for us, the new covenant, something better for us, that they, talking about the Old Testament saints that we've been studying, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We're on the same team. The just shall live by faith. But these that we have been studying did not receive the full promise. And they will not until all is accomplished and we're in eternity with the Lord. And so the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to be faithful like they were through difficulty, through victory, with trials, ordinary people being used by the Lord, or are we going to drop the baton? He is telling us all through the book of Hebrews, keep your faith, keep looking on to Jesus, keep looking to Jesus Christ. You will not be disappointed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then in this chapter, he gives us all these examples. And then he's basically saying to you, now what will you do? The truth is, because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of what Jesus has done, we have a new covenant. And that new covenant is what is going to enable all of us and the Old Testament saints to experience eternity with the Lord forever and ever. And it literally says that in verse 40 of our text. He provided something better for us that they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, all together the Lord is going to consummate history in the presence of the Lord and the judgment upon those who reject Him and then those who follow Him eternity with the Lord.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.